Welcome to the HCI family of podcasts. We're your source for personal, professional, and organizational growth and development. We share our own original research, explore industry trends, and interview executives and thought leaders from across the globe. Join us for practitioner-oriented content around all things leadership, HR, talent management, organizational development, and change management. Maximize your personal and organizational potential with the HCI family of podcasts. Brooke Borup, welcome to the conversation today.
Thanks for having me, John.
It is a pleasure to be with you. You're joining us from Tampa. I'm south of Salt Lake City in Utah. And today we're going to be talking about, we're going to be talking about building scalable businesses from kind of the lens of an implementation specialist. And that's really where I'm going to start with when we start the conversation is what that difference is between implementation specialists versus a coach. And we're going to unpack that and try to better understand how to build scalable businesses. As we get started, I wanted to share Brooke's bio with everybody. When it comes to automation and delegation for small businesses, no one does it better than Brooke Borup. Driven by the desire to see small business owners spend time away from their business doing what they love, Brooke has developed systems and methodologies to help countless business owners around the world do more of what they love. Whether it's growing your business by passively attracting leads or creating automation sequences to spend less time on marketing, Brooke has a back-end tool to get your business moving in the right direction. And there's a lot more I could say about Brooke, but I'm going to pause there. Brooke, anything you would like to highlight by way of your background or personal context before we dive on in?
No, I've been doing this for just over 10 years now, with over 700 small businesses in 9 different time zones. And our goal is just to make sure that business owners can do what they do, love what they do, and eventually be able to exit what they do, and hopefully make some money on the other end. So that's scalable, exitable, all of those things. And that's what we focus on.
Very, very good. All right. So let's start then with that first question I teased around the difference between implementation specialist and coach. What is your approach? How would you define those differently? Why is that distinction important, et cetera?
Sure. So if you are a business owner listening to this and you have a coach, amazing. That coach works with you on strategy, on goal setting, on accountability, and all of the things that you would typically work with a coach on. The difference is that coaches don't necessarily do, right? So they're going to give you a list of things that you need to go do. You need to have a website. You need to use automation. You need to learn how to use LinkedIn. They might even give you some strategy on how to do those things, but they're not going to do it for you or with you or teach you how to do it. And so that's the hole that I fill. You know, I come in understanding business. I understand how to scale. I understand how to grow, and I understand how to exit. So my goal is to take the strategy that you build with your coach and actually make it happen so that we can start moving things along so you can have different strategies a year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now.
And you've mentioned it a couple times. So I want, maybe we can double click and zoom in on that a little bit, but you've talked about the exit. And I know for many entrepreneurs, that is the goal. Like you start this venture, you have a great idea, product or service, whatever. You start to develop it, you grow it, you get to the point of exit, you sell it or whatever. And now you make money, you're able to go on to your next thing. And that's the cycle. And you hear many serial entrepreneurs who have gone through that cycle many times, lots of different companies that they've been a part of and founded, et cetera. I'm curious though, because that I run my own small business, and I actually have zero desire to exit. Maybe I will in 20 years, but like right now, I love it. I love what I'm doing. And I really don't have that desire. Maybe you can talk me through that a little bit more. Maybe I should have that desire. maybe that's something that's just not on my radar that I should be paying more attention to. And maybe there's others who are watching or listening who feel the same way.
Sure. So, scaling a business and exiting a business are the exact same process. So if you actually work to install systems and processes to scale your business, then your business is more valuable at when you decide you want to get out. So now I'm the same way, right? I don't think that I am ever going to exit my business. However, if I got hit by a bus tomorrow, my clients are taken care of, my staff is taken care of, my family doesn't have to deal with all of this because it's all taken care of already. Like, we have pieces in place for that. Mm. Now, if I get to the point where I want to retire or I want to step back, I want to essentially clone myself and be able to step back and not do as many hours in the business, that is also an exit strategy. Selling your business, succeeding your business to a family member, a key employee, or a child is also an exit strategy. So there, you should always have an exit in mind. You know, just like you did when you worked in corporate America, because we all at one point worked in corporate America and we're like, what are we going to do when we leave here? Or what's my next thing? Right. Mm-hmm. And so your next thing may be another business, like your serial entrepreneurs that you were talking about. But for most small businesses, we're doing what we're doing because we're really good at it and we were taken advantage of in corporate America. Mm. Right. That's where I come from. That's where most of us come from. You know, we hated working for someone else. So we said, instead of working 40 hours a week for someone else, we're going to work 90 hours a week for ourselves. That's what we did. Right. But if we can't always keep that up, or we don't want to. How many of you out there have small children and your spouse is not an entrepreneur and they're like, why are you working so much?
Yeah.
Right. All of those things. So building a scalable business doesn't mean working more. It means doing things more efficiently and understanding who you would hire if you could work more, right? If you had more work to do. So if you are one of those people that are always running out of time, there's never enough time in the day, you want to have more clients because you want to have more money, yet you have no idea how you would service those clients, this scaling process is all about knowing what you need to do as your superpower, and then understanding what other jobs you could hire. I'm not telling you have to, but what other jobs you could hire, so that we put systems in place to know what that job role entails, to know what the training is for that job role, and all of that, we do it during scaling. So when we come out of our process, you have tools that you're using, you have systems in place, and we do role-based delegation. So during our blueprinting, we're like, all right, so when we hire an assistant, this is what their job is. And when we hire a salesperson, this is what their job is. And when we hire a marketing person, this is what their job is. And every task that we put in the system to remind you to do it in whatever process is delegated to that role. And then right now, all of those roles come to you. But when you hire that assistant, you literally change the forwarding from admin at, currently forwards to John at, right? We're going to take that forwarding off. And now admin at is an email role that is already taught, already delegated. Everything is already there. So instead of having to sit 3-6 weeks with someone and teach them how to do the role, you've already done that once. And if you're a really bad boss, or you don't know you're a bad boss and you always have that turnover, then you only have to worry about doing that once with me. And then from there on out, anybody that you hire comes in, does the exact same training process and has the exact same prompts. And so turnover doesn't have to hurt as bad. Now, we do want to make you better managers and better leaders, but we understand that that's not always a goal. So we do our best to help your future people succeed with you.
Yeah, excellent. I really appreciate that framing that you provided, because I haven't thought of exiting that way. But what you're describing is, you know, if I reframe it from my kind of HR change management lens, I'm thinking, how am I building my bench strength? How am I making sure that, like you said, if I get hit by a bus tomorrow, someone else can step in? Like, leaders should always be thinking about those questions. And it doesn't necessarily mean I need to be preparing today to sell my business. it's a natural consequence of you scaling and building your business that it does become more valuable and that you have more people relying on you, right? Because when you start up a new venture, you know, you may be a solopreneur or you might have a few people on your team, you're a small unit. But over time, you have more and more people. Their livelihoods rely on you. Their families rely on you. And if you don't have a plan in place, whether you're trying to sell or not, catastrophe can hit not just you, but everybody, right? And I'm all for making sure that we're thinking clearly about automation, that we're thinking about delegation, that we're thinking about training, development, upskilling, and making sure that people are ready for the next responsibility that's going to come to them. That's a totally different way to think about exiting than I've ever thought of before. So I really, really appreciate that.
I'm glad. Yeah, you have to think, you always just think of the here and now. Like, what can I do to make more money, have more clients, make my business more, you know, everything, all the things. But people know that making themselves more efficient and more productive and eventually being able to duplicate themselves in different ways, people know that's hard work. And I say it's three very simple but not easy steps, right? The concept of what I do to help people is very simple. But if you don't think about it in the right way, you never get there. You know, I worked with a surveying company here in Florida, and he had been trying to document his processes and get everything in writing and optimized and, you know, for 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. And he had a coach for that 2.5 years. And he was finally referred to me, and me and him together staring at each other across the desk for about 5 hours, and we documented everything. And then I took it to the next, I put a system in place, a tool, and we automated and delegated his entire business. For $1,500, he was able to have all of that done, to literally walk out the door and knew exactly who he had to hire in order to replace him. And he retired 2 months later.
That's awesome. That's excellent. And the stark contrast, right? And not to say that coaches aren't important. Having a good coach can be super, super valuable to people. But you also have to learn how, like, where the rubber meets the road. You actually have to do something with that coaching. And that's usually just not within the model of, like, what coaches do, right?
And so,
having someone who's an implementation specialist like yourself, an expert who can sit down, walk you through things, help you automate, help you think through what needs to happen beyond the abstract, right, into the nitty gritty, super, super important. Okay, so let's talk now about some of what you're seeing in the market, generally speaking. So, like, if you were to identify two of the biggest marketing factors that lead us to clarity currently in the current market, what would that be?
So with marketing, right, there are some misconceptions out there. And, you know, if you're listening to other podcasts and you're listening to marketing people, I'm going to be an outlier. So okay. I will tell you, social media is one of them. Social media has made it very easy for us to advertise. In previous years, and, you know, I'm a Gen Xer, so in previous years, we had radio and TV, and it was not small business friendly, right? Yep. The pricing wasn't there. It just wasn't there. Now you have all of these options, but they're overwhelming. So my answer to social media is you must have social media. You must be posting on a consistent basis. But it doesn't have to be you, and you don't have to pay $2,500 a month to somebody to do it. You do it once, you put it in the tool, and you set it and forget it, and let your social media just do its thing. No one is ever going to buy off an organic social media posts. Not going to happen. However, when somebody says, hey, you should go talk to Brooke, what's the first thing that person is going to do? They're going to go to their preferred social media and look you up to see if you're legit. Okay. So if you're not posting, if you don't have stuff out there, then you are not legit in today's world. So they think that you're either old school or you're not going to have any good stuff for them because you're not doing what needs to be done. That is my number one misconception with people in marketing. Number two, and this is for everybody out there, networking, talking to people, and knowing where your people are hanging out is the number one thing that everybody should know. It doesn't matter whether you've been in business for 2 days, 2 years, or 2 decades. If you do not know where your people are hanging out, or you do not know how to get to your people, that is where the majority of your marketing dollars are going to go. And you have to get there. So the only way you're ever going to have a good ROI on your marketing dollars is if you have already done the crap work to figure out what works.
No, I appreciate that. There's no magic bullet is what I'm hearing you say. And social media is great. It levels the playing field. It kind of democratizes marketing for small businesses is part of what I'm hearing you say. I was having a conversation with somebody just a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about different social channels. And I was kind of making the same point as you. I'm like, it depends on who your audience is, first of all, who you're trying to sell to. And different people are on different channels, right? And I was making the case for TikTok. I was like, TikTok has become a tremendous learning platform for people. So we typically think of it as a younger generation tool, but more and more it's being used across generations, and more it's being used, you know, for learning and development. Like literally people go there for their news. They go there to learn about stuff, et cetera. It's not just people dancing and doing funny things, right? And the response was, well, no, we're not going to do TikTok because that would require us to hire someone full time in order to do it effectively. And I'm just thinking, no. Like I'm not the greatest social media person, but I'm on all the main channels and I post consistently and I post, I think, compelling content. I cross post like different nuggets and material on all the different channels. I have good engagement and I spend, I don't know, maybe half an hour at the most a day. Like probably more like 10 minutes a day doing it. And so I honestly, I couldn't even wrap my head around where they were coming from. They literally thought they would have to hire a full-time person to do that. And so just having a little bit more understanding around these tools, how they can be more automated and then leveraged. And you don't have to throw a huge budget at like boosting every post or anything like that, but just being consistent to show your legitimacy, show your where people are at, super, super important.
Yeah. Consistency is key when it comes to marketing. Because like in every relationship, because marketing is always referred to as a relationship, right? So no one is going to marry you when they first meet you, right? Or when they first see you across the room at the grocery store, i.e. TikTok. It's not like they're going to sit there and buy from you, but if they keep seeing you consistently, which is what these algorithms do, the longer you watch something, the more consistently it happens. I had a meeting with a functional medicine doctor 2 days ago, and now all I see is functional medicine ads, right? All over the place. But that's the way the algorithm works, is it serves people what it is they want to see. So the longer you spend watching certain things, the more of those things you're going to see. That's the way it works. Now, social media and any marketing for somebody who does not have a marketing brain is very difficult. You have to have some creativity. You have to figure out what your level, what your brand is, what your level of professionalism is, and all of that. And all of those things come with dollars attached. You know, so if you are a small business owner and you want to compete with Coca-Cola, guess what? Probably looking at Coca-Cola money, right? That's probably not going to be the place that or the where you're going to want to go unless you're doing Coca-Cola money in gross sales, right? So do you need to be perfect? Absolutely not. To your example there of having to have a full-time person, some people don't have a plan. And I would say the majority of people do not have a plan. The plan, just like a coach, is, I would say, the most expensive part. Because you have to figure out what your goals are. You have to figure out where your goals can be achieved. And then you have to play the long game. You know, this is a marathon, not a sprint. And so if you don't have a plan and you don't have consistency in your marathon, you're not going to win. And that's the way that all of this stuff works. So everything that you do in business needs to have a plan, and then it needs to be carried out, and it needs to be done with consistency so that someday the right person will marry you. And in marketing, you want people to marry you every day. You want your phone to ring. You want people to get out their credit cards. You want all of that stuff to happen over and over and over again. We know how hard dating and marriage is, right? Marketing is no different. It takes a long time to find the right people to pay you the right money to do what it is that you do and to stay around forever and tell all their friends. You know, and that's why the staying around forever and telling all their friends is my specialty. Right? That's the operations piece of your business and making sure that you not only do what you do, but you make everybody that you do it for feel loved, right? And cared for enough that they will go and shout your name from the rooftops. That is where I love to live, because we can do marketing, we can throw dollars at it, we can, you know, figure out how to get that consistency happening. But if you don't have enough time to answer your phone, if you don't have enough time to return an email, if you don't have enough time to put a proposal together or do the work, then you will never have shouting from the rooftops. Mm-hmm. I want every single one of those marriages to move into, I want you, I want you, I want you, I want you. So that you can get to a point in your business where you don't have to spend marketing dollars because everybody's doing that for you for free.
That's
the ultimate goal behind every business, and being able to do it at a consistency that makes your business grow.
Yeah, I love it. Well, Brooke, this has just been a really eye-opening conversation for me. I know at the time I need to let you go here in just a minute, but before we wrap up, I wanted to give you a chance to share with the audience how they can connect with you, find out more about your work, your team, and then give us the final word on the topic for today.
Sure. So you can find me everywhere. If you search for Brooke Borup, if you search for My Clone Solution, which is my company name, you will find everything everywhere. The top two things are going to be my LinkedIn and my business website. So check me out. Feel free to get a hold of me. I have a free 22-minute ask anything call where you literally get on with me and say, Brooke, I'm having an issue. And I will likely solve that issue on that call for you. In most cases, I can do that. So then we can see how we can work together to solve other problems and streamline your business. So final word for the day, John, always make sure that you have a plan, that you are consistent in your implementation, and you find the right partners to help you, and they all work together. No one needs to work in a silo in today's world, and no one should work in a silo, because you are always going to be the linchpin as the business owner, and there's always going to be conflict, and you won't know how to deal with it.
I love it. Brooke, thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure. I encourage the audience to reach out, get connected, find out more about what Brooke can do for you. And as always, I hope everyone can stay healthy and safe, that you find meaning and purpose at work each and every day. And I hope you all have a great week. Thanks for joining us for this episode of the podcast. We hope you stay healthy and safe, and please join us again soon.